Hi, dear Sublee. I hope you're doing well. I'm really excited to share this episode with you because Shani Hart has an incredible personality and is also a certified sex educator. Her energy is absolutely infectious and never fails to bring me joy. This episode is for you if you are unsatisfied with your sex life, feel uncomfortable in your body, desire greater sex education, or just need a good laugh. In episode 23 with Shani Hart, we discuss what intimacy really is and how it's not just about sex, why Shani emphasizes the importance of using lube, who is to blame for unfulfilling sex, Shani's experience with fertility challenges, and how she's able to help people going through it now, and more. I'm here with Shani from Sex Stuff with Shani and Heart's Desires. She's a sex educator and she has an amazing story. So I'm really excited to bring her on the show and teach you guys about sex education. So let's welcome Shani to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. And it's been the whole month of May. I've been super excited about everything sex talk because it's masturbation month. So I've been like hype all month.
Awesome. So let's just share, how did you get into the field of sex education?
It really came in a roundabout way that a lot of people don't know. So my husband and I own Heart's Desires, two brick and mortar stores in the DC area. But he actually had started the company before we met. He had one brick and mortar store in Suitland, Maryland. So we first started dating when he told me that he owned an adult store. He thought it was going to scare me off, but it didn't. I was really intrigued because I was in touch with my sexuality. When I met him, I was in my hoe phase. So I was having a good time. And I was like, oh, so I might be able to get free toys. This works. So as we were dating, I would pop up at the store because most of the customers at the store are women. And sometimes I'm not gonna say jealous, but a little curious. So like, what's these women doing up here at the store? Let me come pop up and check up on him. So as I continued to go to the store, he started putting me to work. He was like, well, let's have you on a cash register. You could ring up people since you're gonna be here anyway. And so I started doing that, and people started asking me questions. And I'm the type of person where if I don't know the answer, it really bothers me. But I grew to love the field, and I wanted to figure out how I could learn more about sex education and how to give the customers more of an educational-based shopping experience. So I enrolled in a sex education program. It was based out of Portland. I went to Portland twice, so all the way over on the West Coast. I went to Portland twice for my live classes and took the rest online. And that started my whole bite into sex education. And once I got started and got more education and started feeling comfortable talking about sex, especially to women, that's my jam, talking to women, it just kind of took off from there.
That's so awesome. It was like just happened, like unfolded perfectly for you.
It's a cliche, all things happen for a reason, but like it really did. But me and him, we work really well together. We expanded our brand. Rebranded. The store took over a whole new life. We moved into a bigger space for the first store. We opened up a second store together. I put my womanly touches on things. So the stores are like a place where women felt comfortable, and it just works.
That's so awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. I mean, how great is it that you have a sexual store, like, and you're also there to educate people? Like, wow, that is such a gift that you bring to that community.
Oh, thank you. I love testing out old toys. Like, I do a lot of hard work for the people. It's not for me, but I test out most of the toys, which is definitely a perk. And I love doing workshops at the store for our customers. And also I do different speaking engagements. So I just love talking to women about their sexuality, prioritizing their pleasure, and all things to build their confidence when it comes to their sexuality.
That's so great. That's so great. So in your speaking career, what is something you're passionate talking about?
One of the things that I love talking about is masturbation, which is totally on point for this month, but it's super important for women for so many reasons. One, it's pleasurable. We all deserve pleasure in our lives. I use it actively as a form of self-care. It relieves stress. It helps me with body image issues, because when you can bring pleasure to your own body, it makes you feel good about yourself. Like, okay, I know myself. This feels good when I touch myself. You know, maybe it's other parts of your body that you don't like, but when you touch your breasts, it makes you feel a certain way. So you start loving on your breasts, and it just does things like that. Also, it's really great for explaining to your partner how to please you. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of the orgasm gap between men and women. Men in heterosexual sex between a man and a woman, usually the man is satisfied way more often than women. But if we can learn about what pleases us and talk about it with our partner and instruct them how to do it, there's a way that we can try to close the gap.
Yeah.
That's why lesbians have better sex.
I never thought about it like that, but that's
true. Statistically, women that have sex with other women are more sexually satisfied because they do more things that involves the clitoris, which of course, like, that's the money spot for us. So a lot of times men don't focus on that. They're doing all of this in and out, which inside our vagina, there's really not a lot of nerve endings besides like the G-spot, which most of the time they pass that and they're not going to hit it the right angle anyway. And then there's different spots towards the back of your cervix. And let's face it, a lot of guys don't have big enough parts to reach that part. So just that in and out motion for most women is not doing it for us.
Yeah. How do you recommend someone to ease into masturbation if it's something that they've never really done before, or they're not super comfortable with their body yet?
So I think it takes a lot to, if you come from a background where they say that that's bad, whether it be like from your religious background, different family members, different things that you've heard in society that said this is bad, you're not supposed to do that, then you got kind of an uphill battle. But if you get to the point that you start building some self-confidence, self-esteem, learning that it's okay, it's more than okay, it's something that you deserve to do with yourself, to bring yourself pleasure, to release stress, to do all the things that I talked about earlier, and getting to a place where you figure out what it is that's going to bring you pleasure. Maybe it's using your hand. Maybe it's, you know, rubbing the back of your left knee. It could be so many different things, but first is exploring to figure out what are the things that you like to do with yourself. Toys do help a lot because toys help you get aroused faster. Sometimes you might not be in the mood, but the vibration of the toys, maybe the excitement of the toy is like, okay, this is going to be fun. I know I'm going to have an orgasm when I use this. So that just thinking about it might help you get in a better space to desire the pleasure. But you just, you know, just got to try it. And right now, while a lot of us are quarantined, some places around the country are opening up. But this is a time where people are still going to be home a lot more often. This is the perfect time to actually start all that self-exploration. You ain't got nothing else better to do.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. And yeah, you're so right. If you have someone telling you that this is wrong, that is maybe definitely an uphill battle. But I think in general, it's just important to feel what does your heart say is right and what feels good for you.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes a lot of times with self-esteem. We might have to go through different things. And if you're at such a block that you feel like you can't get over it, therapy is great. You might need somebody to help you with those issues. It's really hard to do it if you still have it in your mind that those things are bad and maybe you don't want to believe otherwise. That's a pretty hard place to come back from. But it's not impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone deserves to be pleased or please themselves.
Yes. And the problem is some women don't feel like they have, whether they deserve pleasure, whether it be from, you know, sexual trauma or low self-esteem, or, you know, maybe they was in a relationship with a partner that, you know, emotionally abused them, told them that they were nothing. Maybe they feel like, I'm just gonna, you know, just sit here and sit in my sadness. I don't deserve pleasure. A lot of women suffer with that also, which is, you know, getting to the point where you say, no, that's not true. I can get over that. I can find the right tools, the right people to talk to help me with that. And I'm going to get to the place that that I want to be, that I deserve. That is your birthright to have pleasure.
Yeah. When you think it comes to pleasure, is that something that you shouldn't put in your own hands?
Yeah, it's easier to put in your own hands and work with someone to incorporate the things that you found out instead of just sitting back. I know before I actually implemented the things that I talk about now to other women, I would just be satisfied with whatever I had. Well, however the sex is going to be, whatever, you know, my partner gave me, I was just like, okay, that's enough. Like, I like the intimacy. Intimacy is one thing, but, you know, I want an orgasm. And I think sometimes we get so satisfied and content with just being with someone. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Sometimes you might think that if you express your needs, that's saying that they're less than. But finding the words and the way to explain to someone is like, you know, I really love you. You know, I love being intimate with you. Maybe next time we could try this. So finding the courage and the words to say it so that if you are with a partner, that you both can be satisfied is really important.
Totally. Totally.
I should have silenced my phone.
No worries. So we talked a little bit about this, but I want to bring it up again. How does using toys, like how can people use toys in a way that can keep them satisfied?
I love toys. I mean, of course I sell toys, but I use them all the time. I have my favorites that I use because sometimes toys for me do different things, whether I'm using them with my partner or whether a lot of times I use my toys at nighttime that, you know, I want to release some stress, have an orgasm and go to sleep. Yeah. That happens a lot. And toys give you for some people, an excuse to explore. They give you a ways of finding different spots on your body that you might not have known that you had. Like I didn't realize that I liked my ankles play with until my favorite toy is a magic wand. Like my all other toys come and go, but my favorite toy of all time is the magic wand, probably the most popular sex toy. So I love using the magic wand to just go around my body. When I have a session, I'm taking my time. Sometimes they go fast, but sometimes when I actively, you know, set my scene, set the mood, and I'm going to take my time to figure things out. Because right now I'm 41. Some of the spots that I had when I was 30 are different than what I have now. So it's always changing. So taking time to figure out, you know, what you like. I realized that I love my ankles being massaged and touched, and I like the vibration on it. But if I hadn't taken that time, I would have never known that. So now when, you know, with my partner, I'm like, hey, buddy, Ankles, please.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's awesome. So that's amazing. Definitely, I think it's so important to take the time to get to know your body and get to know yourself in every way possible. Oh, whether, you know, that's on a physical standpoint of your diet and your health, or your mental health. Also, your physical pleasures, I think, are just as important.
Definitely.
Yeah. I had a podcast with a lady who's a holistic health practitioner, and she said that it's good to just, before bed sometimes, or as much as possible, just like stretch and lay down and feel like where there's tension in your body. And it's so good to do that on a periodic basis. And so why not do those things also on a periodic basis? See what your pleasures are. See what makes you feel good. I think feeling good is just something that is so important in life.
Yeah, because when a lot of times we think of pleasure just sexually, but in the grand scope of things, doing more things that bring you pleasure in general, whether it's, you know, eating your favorite ice cream, picking up a new book, you know, giving yourself a pedicure, just having some good things that bring you joy that you put into your daily life are really important, especially right now.
Totally. How do you think, you talked a little when we talked in our pre-interview about infertility and stuff like that. How does feeling undeserving come into play with infertility issues?
Ooh, that's a lot. So when my husband and I, we did about 3 years of fertility treatments, a whole bunch of doctor's appointments, needles, medicines, procedures, surgery. And when you take the pleasure out of sex, that's really when you're doing these treatments, like having sex is not, it's less about pleasure and more about reproduction. So when you take that part out of it, you're taking a lot of the intimacy out of it too. And then when, like in my case, my fertility treatments and everything, nothing was working, nothing was going right. I was in a place where I wasn't really talking about it with a lot of people because I felt, you know, ashamed and guilty, because as women, it's like, okay, what's one of the things that you think about as being a woman? Supposed to, you know, pop out babies. And when that doesn't happen, you like looking at your body like, okay, my body has failed me. And it just takes took the wind out of my sails, out of my sexiness. I had a very fulfilling sex life beforehand, but during, it was like nothing. Like, we went long periods of time without having sex. I wasn't even masturbating. I love masturbating, but I didn't have the desire to do it. So that's why I picked, when I decided to be a sexuality coach, it was really important for me to pick an arena where I could help people that had fertility issues, because it puts a lot of strain on a marriage anyway. Financially, it's a lot of strain. All the time it takes to do all these things. And then the intimacy levels, those dropping, that puts a lot of strain on relationships, marriages. And so I love talking to people about how to get that passion back in their relationship, because I know that it can come back, because it came back for me. But you have to work on it, and you have to have someone that can show you, you know, the right tools and be able to be in a place where you could be vulnerable and talk about it. So that's what I try to give my clients, someone who has actually been through it. And because I know for me, when I'm going through something, it's easier for me to be vulnerable and actually be honest and speak my truth when the person I'm talking to knows what I'm talking about and can understand how I'm feeling, instead of just, you know, spouting out some rhetoric or whatever the case may be, but they actually know how it's feeling. So I wanted to be able to give that to other couples.
Yeah, that's amazing that you offer that help for people, because you've been through that. And it's amazing that you've come full circle from being in that situation to being able to help people in that situation. It really says a lot about you.
It took a lot, because at first, even when I thought that this is what I wanted to do, because I hadn't told very many people. Like, I probably, like, maybe tops 10 people knew that I had even done any fertility treatment. So once I finished my sexuality coaching training program, I was like, okay, I'm ready. But then I realized I have to actually speak my truth to the world, because I have to advertise, I have to market my services. So now I have to actually let people in on that part of my life, and then have people know that, you know, I have fertility issues, you know, I'm infertile. So letting people know, like, this is what infertility could look like. That was hard. So I really, at first, didn't go full throttle into it because I was still a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, I think it gets easier to talk about every time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Now I'm over. I could talk to anybody about it. But at first, yeah, I was worried. But once I had to get over the shame and guilt of myself and stop blaming myself for the issues that I had, and get back to loving myself, building my self-esteem back up, my self-confidence, getting back to loving my body. And once I got past all of that, then it was easier to talk about it.
Totally. What do you think are a few steps that you can recommend to listeners about being kind and loving yourself?
I think it's really important. One of the things that helped me was finding the things that I loved about myself, whether it was physically, personality-wise. I asked a few of my friends, like, what are the things that you like about me? Tell me something that you admire about me. Like, I like, give me some compliments. Let me know. And then between people saying that, those sort of things, and then me actually realizing, like, you know what? They're right. Because sometimes we're our own hardest critics. And sometimes people see things in us that we don't see in ourselves. And it's not about getting validation from other people, but it's a lot of times giving yourself grace to actually be happy in the person you are, and seeing yourself as others who care about you and love you, how they see you.
Mm-hmm. Totally. You can... It's so easy to be your own worst critic because you see yourself the most, you're with yourself the most. But
it is. I was just talking to my girlfriend today. I have flat butt syndrome. So I always going on how I want to get a new booty. And I put on like dresses, tight dresses. And I'm looking in the mirror like, this would be so much better if I had a big butt. But sometimes I have to give myself grace and be like, okay, you have other things going for yourself, but we're still super hard on ourselves. Even if you have high self-esteem and body confidence, it's, mm-hmm. it's still some things that you're not going to like, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I think it's about appreciating the sides of yourself that aren't as, I guess, necessarily pleasant, mm-hmm. as well as loving the sides of yourself that are more pleasant, because you are with yourself the vast majority of the time. I mean, all the time.
Yeah.
So I say this often, but I think it's important to treat yourself like you would treat your own best friend.
It's true. Like, we are our own worst critics, like we said, and we can give other people compliments and see the good in other people and boost them up. But it's, sometimes it's super hard to do that for yourself. And it's something that I still actively work on. I still have my bad days and, you know, feel bad. And, you know, maybe it's the time of month and I'm bloaty and then my clothes fixed. I'm like, oh, too fat. But then, you know, you just have to sit back. And sometimes you can allow yourself to stew in it for a minute and then get back to having those positive thoughts and thinking about, like we said, the things that you do like about you, the positive things that you can reflect on.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so excited to talk about this. What are the benefits of using lube?
Oh, lube is everything. So I have one of my mantras. I might get this on my tombstone. So one of my mantras is, it's better to have lube and not need it than need it and not have it. Like, that's the mantra that anybody can use. That's everything. So lube, it just makes sex better. And people think that lube is just for like menopausal women, you know, old people, things like that. And I personally use lube every single time I have sex, and I don't necessarily have lubrication issues in general, but I mean, pleasure, friction, first off, is the enemy of pleasure. So anything you could do to make things nice and slippery and things are sliding together, bodies are sliding against each other, that brings more pleasure. And then also as women, sometimes our bodies and our brains don't match. You might be totally aroused, feeling it. You know, you want to jump your partner's bones, but then, you know, your vagina is Sahara Desert. Ain't nothing going on. Ain't a lick of moisture down there. So lube will help. Like, you want to do it, but your body is not in the right, you know, in the right same frame of mind as your mind. Maybe, you know, you might be on medications, dehydrated. So many different factors affect your lubrication. But lube, even if you have, you're not at a point where you're having lubrication issues, it just feels nice, especially mm-hmm. for marathon sex, shower sex, all sorts of different sex. Lube is awesome. All the different kind of lubes. My favorite kind of lube is silicone. So have you tried the three? Well, there's really four different types of lubes. Have you tried all four?
I haven't tried all four.
Okay, so it's
I've actually never tried lube before, ever.
Really?
Really. So that's like, it intrigues me so much, and I want to learn about it.
Yeah, okay, so there's four different types of lubes. So real quick, water-based lube, probably most popular lube. It's the cheapest lube out there. It's great to use with any type of toys. Only thing about water-based lube is that your body is made of water. So when you use water-based lube, your body will absorb some of it. So if you're having like a longer sex session, you're going to have to apply more because your body's going to soak it in. Then there's silicone lube, my favorite lube. So silicone lube is like more silky, and it actually kind of sits on top of the skin. So it's not going to be absorbed. So it stays, you stay lubricated longer. Silicone lube for some people might be a little harder to clean up because water-based lube, you can use it, it sit there, you don't have to really wipe it off, or it wipes off real easy if you wanted to. Silicone lube is kind of a little oily, kind of, you might have to, you know, actively use some soap or water and wipe it off. My favorite is Uber lube. I love the way it makes my skin feel. Great for shower sex and things like that, any type of water play. Then there's hybrid lubes, which is a mix of usually water-based and silicone lube. So you kind of have the best of both worlds. Usually it's milky in consistency. I mean, in the way it looks, it kind of looks like sperm. Some people like it for that reason. But also it has the easy cleanup of a water-based lube, but it has a little bit longer lasting effect like a silicone. So that's hybrid lube. And then lastly, oil-based lube. So things like your coconut oil, some people use olive oil, all these different type of oils, which a lot of people who like natural living use those types. There's other kind that they sell also besides just mm-hmm. you going in your cabinet and grabbing a thing of coconut oil. Only thing about oil-based lubes, some of them are a little thicker, so vaginally they might be a little harder to get out, which might make you trap more bacteria inside your vagina. And then you can't use oil-based lubes with latex condoms. So that's another difficulty. So those are basically the four mm-hmm. types of lube.
I think just observation, isn't coconut oil like antibacterial? I'm not 100% sure.
Yes, a lot of people lately have been talking about it. I still don't like coconut oil as a lube, just because because of the whole bacteria thing and it being a little mm-hmm. thicker. I'm like, I don't want to break my pussy, so I don't really use coconut oil. One of my favorite hybrids though is by Joe. It's a water coconut oil mix. I do like that. Sometimes I like using it with some of my toys because there's a rule of thumb not to use silicone lube with silicone toys, even though that's kind of relaxing a bit, where if you have a good grade of silicone lube with a good grade of silicone on your toy, it really isn't going to react. But oil-based and water-based and most hybrids you can use on silicone toys.
Okay, good to know.
That was a lot. I gave you a lot of lube lesson real fast.
I think, did you mention that, because I know you mentioned it before, how if you don't use lube, it opens up, the friction can increase the possibility of, I think, that infections?
Yeah, so when you having sex and it's not lubricated enough, you can cause small micro tears in, especially vaginally, and more the weakest type of membrane when you're having sex is anally. That's why a lot of anal sex, unprotected anal sex is the riskiest sex you can have, just because first off, your anus is not self-lubricating. Like your vagina makes some moisture stuff, your butt, not self-lubricating. So you need to have some lube. So if you don't have enough moisture and things are moving real in a slick way, you can cause a little tears. That's how, you know, STIs, all those different things could get into the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like if you ever have sex and then, you know, it's a little, you know, a lot of people go pee after they have sex and you might notice a little blood in your tissue. Micro tears, and sometimes you don't even know it's there, but that's it's letting all the bacteria in, whether it's STIs or just other bacteria from just your partner's body.
Mm-hmm. Do you think after a while, like, you able to use lube in a way that's not messy?
Well, when I use it, it's not messy. I don't slather it all on. Like So this is the kind I like the most. This one is Uber Lube. So it has this cute pump on it. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, pump some and put on my hand. So it doesn't move around a whole lot. So it just sits here and my finger is glossy. I love lubes with a pump because you can just sit on your nightstand and when you need some, boop, 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 and it's right there instead of messing with tops and everything like that. So it's, for me, it's not messy.
Oh, okay. That's so great to know. That, I think for me, that was something that I was, I guess, a little concerned about. But
now, what made you think it was messy? Did you see something?
That was just what my boyfriend told me.
Oh.
Yeah, because I had mentioned that maybe we should try it. And he just said in his past relationships that, or the times that he's used it, it's just been really messy. And I'm like, huh. Okay.
Well, that's the fun part of trying different things. So maybe if you did try a lube that was messy, you'd be like, okay, well, let's go to, you know, our local adult store. Let's try a different kind. And going together and picking out something new, that's sexy and arousing all by itself. So, you know, mm-hmm. You could take your time and try different things. That's part of the fun.
Totally. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that it's so important to try new things. And I love how we're so open about talking about trying these things. And it's just great. It's just great.
Yeah, this has been the time during this whole quarantine time that more people are trying a lot of things. I don't know if you've seen any articles or anything on social media. Sex toys and things like that are booming right now because people, you know how they're bored, they're getting sick of each other. They want to try different things. So many people, especially, and people also quarantine by themselves, they're like, okay, well, my partner, you know, is not with me and I ain't trying to get the, you know, the Rona. So let me stay in the house and let me figure out what I can do to please myself. So a lot of people are trying toys for the first time that have never tried any. I get messages every single day saying, I've never had a toy before. What do you suggest? Which is a loaded question all on its own.
Oh, but I'm
asked that more now.
Yeah. Do you have like resources online that someone could check out in case they are interested in that?
Yeah. So on our website, heartsdesires.com, it's HARTSDESIRES, the word hearts with no E and desires. I have a bunch of different blog posts where I have videos. Also, we have a YouTube channel with the same name, Hearts Desires, where I do videos on our social media, same name, Instagram. There's different videos. But on my blog posts, I have quite a few blog posts about a bunch of different things with sex toys, sex in general, things about partner, things to do in quarantine. So it's a bunch of good resources there for people to read. I have a blog post about sex toy materials, how to introduce toys into the bedroom, and lots of videos about different toys.
Awesome. That's so awesome. Is there any like final message that you really just want to pound out?
I was just talking to one of my friends, and they were asking me, saying that their partner sucks in bed. And right now, with everything going on and everybody, you know, being all stressed out, this is not the time to be having bad sex. But if you are having bad sex, guess whose fault it is? Yours. It's your fault. It's up to us to find our pleasure and be able to tell our partner how it is to put those tips and tools and things that we found out about ourselves and how we can use that so we both can be pleased. So one of my final thoughts is, if you're having bad sex, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you say it's good to figure out your pleasure and then communicate that and work on it.
Yeah, and it's super important to say it in a way to your partner. They're not going to get defensive. And it's also, if you're the partner that someone is telling it to you, for you to really sit there, listen to them, and not get defensive yourself. If you're the person, explain it to your partner. It's very helpful to use a lot of I statements instead of saying, you know, you don't do this and you don't do this thing. I would like to try this, or when I found out that when I do this, it's pleasurable. Use a lot of I statements instead of making it about your partner.
Yeah, I also have learned that it is never a good idea, educated idea, to say you should in any situation, because mm-hmm. that just turns on defense mode.
Yeah,
whether it's talking about sex or taking out the trash.
Yeah, it does. And sometimes it, with everything going on in people's lives, sometimes it's good to ask your partner, hey, I really want to talk about, you know, the intimacy in our relationship or our sex life or whatever the case may be, how you want to say it. And ask your partner, are you in a space right now to have this conversation? Is now a good time? Because you might come to your partner and they had a horrible day at work, or they're upset about something else, and now is not a good time. So actually, you know, asking permission to have this conversation is good too.
Mm-hmm. I really want to ask, what is one of your biggest takeaways in general from having a relationship or a partnership that has gone through challenges and coming out the other side?
What has been one of my takeaways? I guess one of my takeaways is that the shit is not like in the movies. You have to actively work on being happy. You have to actively work on being a positive, you know, part of your partner's life. We see these things in the movies and we think that it's supposed to be like this fairy tale ending, and we're going to have the googly eyes all the time, and we're always going to want to have sex, and everything is going to be perfect, and they're going to do everything right. And it's not like that at all. It takes work. So, you know, knowing that every day is not going to be a good day, but there are going to be good days if I work at it and we work together, that's probably one of my biggest takeaways.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm sure being honest about working together is a big thing with that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Being honest about your desires, your needs, your, you know, expectations are a little shaky. Some people say, well, I expect this. That's a little shaky to put all of your expectations on somebody, but saying it in a way that saying, I want to be desired in this way. This is the way that I want this to happen for us. And saying in a way, like I said before, that your partner can receive it and not be defensive. That's the way to go.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I think that opening the dialogue about that is so important. And I mean, let's be real. If someone is scared to express their sexual needs to their partner, then maybe that's not the partner for them.
Exactly. If you like intimacy, people think intimacy and they just think sex, but sex is just like a part of the puzzle. Intimacy deals with trust. It deals with being able to be vulnerable, being felt like you're heard by your partner. It encompasses so much. And if you can't have all the pieces to the pie, then you're really not going to have the best relationship, the best, you know, satisfaction with your partner, unless you encompass all the different parts of intimacy into your relationship.
Definitely. 100%. I think when it comes to trusting your partner, when you have a good, or not good, but a wonderful connection between you guys, between trust and communication and honesty, then everything just falls into place a lot better than hiding things from each other. Because I think when, let's say your boo is not taking out the trash, mm-hmm. and you were like just very upset about it, but you're not saying anything, and maybe he doesn't realize, but inside you're getting very upset. I don't think that's fair to your partner or you.
I agree. You have to be, it takes a lot for both people to be comfortable to say their truths and say their honest thoughts. You have to feel like when you're saying it, that it's going to be heard and it's going to be taken in consideration, and you know, they're going to find that it's, you know, something valuable that you're saying, instead of just like, whatever, and brushing it off. And that takes a lot. That takes a lot of communication, getting to that point where you feel comfortable being able to say all the things that you want.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, thank you so much, Shani. So where can people find you online?
I have two sites. My sex educator and sex coaching site is shanihart.com, shanihart.com. And then for everything sex toys is heartsdesires.com.
That's so awesome. And I think it's just only fitting that your last name is Hart.
I know, that totally like worked out. Even though people always spell it, they spell the store name wrong because people want to put the E in Hearts, but it's really a play with our last name. Mm-hmm. It's Hearts Desires with no E.
Yeah, it's original.
Ah, thank you.
Love that. So my last question is, what does the universe mean to you?
The universe. The universe right now, and I think as I've gotten older, that if you asked me that question 10 years ago, it'd probably be a different answer. But right now, I'm so filled with hope, and I'm so looking forward to everything the future has for me. When I think of the universe, I think of it like the universe is my playground. I'm so filled with so many plans and things I want to do. When I think of the universe, I think of my whole expression of what I want to do, how I want to help people, and what's going to make me happy. So that's what I think. I guess that's like a woo-woo sense of what the universe is, but that's what comes to mind when I think, when you ask me that question.
That's awesome. Yeah, there is no right or wrong answer. It's just, okay. It's just whatever it means to you. And I think that having that's a beautiful response. You know, having faith in your future and hope, I think, is so powerful. To me, that really expresses that you are living in your passion. So that makes me really happy.
Thank you. Thank you. I am. I finally am at a place where I'm at a good spot, good feeling about myself, what I want to do in life. You know, my husband get on my last damn nerves, but we're in a good place. Like right now I'm in a, besides all the things that are going on in the world, but for the things that I can control, feeling pretty good.
That's good. I'm so happy. So definitely check out Shani. I'm going to list some links in the description from the things that she's mentioned. And yeah, follow her on Instagram. And hopefully we will talk to her again soon.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Sure.
Hi, dearest lovely. Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Shani Hart. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe and share it with your friends and family. You can check out the description below for the links to her YouTube, her blog, and her website and her Instagram. I hope that you have a wonderful day. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, then please leave a review and rating. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.